Hey, I got to share with you this meeting this morning is really important, and a couple of reasons. One of them, I believe that we as a church have to be very proactive in bringing healing to our nation and bringing unity to the body of Christ. We can't sit back idly. And yesterday, we convened for about 5 or 6 hours together to discuss how we might do that, because there are a lot of people that are hurt today. You know, they woke up November 9th, and they were in shock. They were hurt. And you say, well, good, they should have been. No, that's a wrong attitude. We need to understand people's hurts and understand why people are feeling vulnerable and maybe even fearful this morning. And so what we thought we would do as a church is open up dialogue and let people know that they can be understood and take time to hear the hearts and perspectives of other people. So we're going to have courageous conversations. We're going to experience times where we could sit down in small group settings and say to others, tell me, how does it feel? How does it feel to be you and to feel as a citizen of this country where your vulnerabilities are? So we're going to try to get that going, and we'll have that here at the church. There'll be a pastor that'll be present, and we'll do it maybe on Wednesday nights and have some talking points. Some of you remember I introduced My Shoes, My Story. I don't know if any of you looked at it, but there is a great testimony on there by Pastor Tossie Wiley, and he tells of his story of what he experienced as a boy growing up in the South as an African-American, and what it was like to have no school to go to for over 2 years while working in a cotton field, barefooted, never having a direct conversation with a white person, and today growing up to be a very successful attorney. Well, that presentation has about 7 questions that we've attached to it. And as a result, we're asking people to sit down, bring neighbors, friends together, and ask those questions of one another and give people opportunity to share their heart. I think conversation is where we need to go. So we're going to use that. Also, I think that we need to begin thinking in terms of reaching out. One of the ways, you know, we've had Joshua Kids Ministry for 24 years in our city of Lorain. Why not once in a while just join us on the weekend and reach out to children and a community that maybe you're not familiar with that could use our love and our help? Or in the Slavic Village, we've helped a church get Joshua Kids going there, and we could be a part of that. In other words, let's be proactive. Let's not sit back and maybe take sides. There's no sides in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Well, that's a hearty amen. Okay, well, all right. I got 2 amens right here from the amen corner here. All right, thank you. Thank you so much. But I think that's important. And then finally, God orchestrated this. It's amazing what the Lord has done for me personally when I didn't even know I needed it in the last 37 years. I received a call from Frank Whitfield, who's the CEO of Lorain County Urban League. And I reached out to Frank when I heard him speak recently at a prayer vigil for our city when this past summer we were going through a lot of strife in the cities in America with a lot of rioting and police shootings. And there was a lot of hurt and there was a lot of pain and there was a lot of anger. And he and I were part of it. And I said, Frank, you spoke so eloquently. I just feel the Lord. I'm supposed to come alongside of you and help you. Well, My Shoes, My Story was birthed. We've had a leadership luncheon in Lorain County where over 200 were present. I mean, CEOs of businesses came, educators came. It was quite a significant time. But even that is only an event. And I'm more into long-term and developing community, not just events. That's why Sunday mornings are great. But Sunday morning is kind of an event. I want us to connect. I want us to learn how to connect heart to heart so that on Monday, if I need you, you're available. Or if you need me, I want to be there for you. Well, he felt like we needed to do something regionally. He said, we need to have a unity day where all of us come together, all races, all denominations, in our community, and gather together. Can we use your church in Lorain? I said, sure. Well, who are you thinking? He said, well, I made a contact, and the daughter of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, Bernice King, Dr. Bernice King, has agreed to come and be our keynote speaker, and it's titled United We Stand. Now, this was way before all of this occurred in our elections, and I think it's Holy Spirit that God has given us, Church on the North Coast, an opportunity to be a leader in the community to say, we can have courageous conversations. We can make a difference and say, we don't have to take sides. We can lift up the name of Jesus and let everybody feel and sense the love of God. So December 4th, which happens to be my wife's birthday, she's going to be 39 this year. Do you believe that? I cannot believe she's going to be... Sweetheart, you do not look a day over 39. I'm sorry. I mean 38. So December 4th at 4 p.m. in Lorain, we expect 2,000 people. Now, we can seat 2,000 there. Our first Sunday in 1995, we had 2,300 there. There were people hanging from the ceiling when Bishop T.D. Jakes was our guest speaker. So I want you to be there. I want you to represent Wycliffe. I want you to come to that event and involve yourself in what I think is a Holy Spirit moment where Cleveland can not only be proud of a championship and almost a World Series championship, but we can be proud that the church in this region knows how to walk in unity. So that is my plea to you this morning. Would you mark your calendar down December 4th? You can go on the website of Lorain County Urban League and register. You have to register your attendance, and it's going to be great. All right? God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share that. I appreciate that so much. Okay, I have a little message that I want to share with you this morning. We used to sing this old song. Lowell, you're going to remember this. It says, I say that not because he's old, but he's been with me a long time. I guess we're both old, brother. I'm sorry. All right. It kind of goes this way. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to our God. See, there's only three people that know that song. I got you. You're like, yeah, those are oldies station for sure. But it's out of Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2. And I want to start there. So I want you to open up your Bible, go to Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. And I hope I'm not forgetting anything. I think I wrote everything down I'm supposed to talk about, except for the Haiti trip. We're doing a Haiti trip just for Wycliffe and Valley View. Lorain, Avon cannot go. We told them that. You can't come. Only Wycliffe and Valley View, because we only have like 12 or 13 spots. And if you want to go, it's coming up. I don't know the dates. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jenna. You're so good. February 12th through the 18th, $100 deposit today. And Catherine Sears, our resident missionary, is leading this, along with Pastor Mary, is going to go as well. And it's only $1,100 for an entire week. That includes your travel, flights, meals, lodging, everything. It'll change your life. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now, say, yes, Lord. Okay, there's a few yes, Lords. All right, good. So going back to Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2, it's a good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning. Did you get up this morning and say, your loving kindness is better than life? Or did you allow circumstances, situations, and people to steal your joy? Look, I know what I'm talking about. I've had the same experience. This morning I woke up and I wasn't naturally feeling a lot of joy. Have you ever had mornings like that? Okay, I'm glad you're honest, because I was going to pray for repentance right now. There's mornings like that. But you know what you have to do? I call it push through. You've got to walk by faith. You've got to say, God, you're good all the time. And regardless of what's happening around me, your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness, it's better than life. My lips will praise you, thus will I bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name. You say, well, that's another old song. We ought to learn that one. That's a good one. Because the Bible says in the morning we ought to declare the loving kindness of God. And at night, what does it say? The faithfulness of God. When you lay your head down on the pillow, we ought to say, God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. You brought me through this day, God. When I got up this morning, I didn't think I was going to make it. But Lord, look at me. I made it. Hallelujah. That's kind of the attitude we ought to have, right? And it's infectious. It's contagious. When you start living life like that, everybody's like, whoa, that is awesome. I want to live like that. I want to be that kind of a joy-filled person. Now, we're just a few weeks away, right, from Thanksgiving. I don't know exactly how far away we are. Well, not very far at all. 2 weeks, yeah. And Thanksgiving, really, we extract two words from Thanksgiving. What are they? Thanks and giving. Boy, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But I want to look at that this morning for a minute because it's more than a meal. Come on, look at somebody and say, Thanksgiving's more than a meal. It's more than your turkey, more than your pie. Come on. Why do I have you tell somebody that? So it reinforces it in your mind. It's more than a meal. It's more than a gathering. It's more than an expense. Thanksgiving are marks of a growing Christian. You and I are growing when we have both thanks and giving in our life. Not only are we a growing Christian, I love this part, we are a glowing Christian. Man, I want to see you glow. I want, when you walk in here on Sunday, if you're not glowing, I'm going to plug you in. I'm like, who unplugged you? Why are you up here? No, you can't come in here sad. Stop it right now. And I always just say to my kids or my grandkids, there's a little man on your nose. They're mad, you know. They're like, man. I said, there's a little man on your nose. And if you smile, he's going to fall off. Don't smile. Don't you smile. And like some of you, you're like, you're smiling already. And I'm like, I just saw the little man fall off your nose. You know, we have to look at people as the object of God's love and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow you to stay in your depression. I feel obligated to bring to you the thanks and the giving attitude that you can live in. I'm going to operate in it as a glowing Christian, as a growing Christian, so I can change the atmosphere where I go. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. We are not to conform to this world, are we? We're not to conform to this world. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. So if I come into a hostile atmosphere where people are mad, guess what? I don't have to get mad too. If I get into people where they're negative, I walk in. What am I supposed to do? Go, yeah, you're right. I don't know why they're doing that. Why did you just conform to the world? Why don't you be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Start glowing and be thankful and be gracious to what God has done for you and for me. There's only two characteristics of a growing Christian. Number one, they define us as being free from critically assessing other people. Critically assessing other people. We have to stop critically assessing other people. That's not our job. You know, when we critically assess people with a negative tone, we are actually saying, God, I got this. I don't really need you. I'm going to be God today. You know, we've never been called to be critical and make assessments in judgment of other people. And we've not been called to live pessimistically. How many people have you met where the glass is always half empty? Or it's not big enough? Or nobody loves me? Or nobody cares about me? Or why am I always going through this? Man, those are hard people to be around. We're to be optimists eternally. We're to believe the best about other people. That's what 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says. That's what true love is. It believes the best about other people. So a glowing and growing Christian always operates in optimism. They see the world in a different light. I always want to see people and the world in a different light. And if I can't do that, I've got the wrong perspective. I've always got to see where there's hope when there's a hopeless situation. As a believer and a glowing Christian, if I've got thankfulness in my heart going on, if I have gratitude going on in my heart, I can come into a very difficult and hopeless situation and bring what? Hope. We're to bring hope to the hopeless, man. That's what we're supposed to do. We bring love to the loveless. We bring acceptance to the rejected. See, we come in and we have the antithesis of a normal life. We wreck stuff. Where the devil thinks he has a stronghold, when we show up, people are like, "What made you so happy this morning? Your smile is annoying me." I said, "You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to make it bigger, and I'm going to get in your face, and I'm going to love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it." See, that's the kind of attitude that changes the world. It is an attitude of a glowing and growing Christian who's learned to have thankfulness operate in their life and have learned to give. A person who gives is a person who is able to release what they possess. What do you possess? You possess forgiveness. A person who is thankful, a person who is a giving person, can offer forgiveness when needed. I don't have to hold it back. A person who is a glowing Christian who has thankfulness and giving operating in their life are able to give acceptance because you have acceptance in you. And what we do when we're not thankful, we don't have this attitude of gratitude, what we do is we hold back acceptance because we want to punish or we want to emphasize our point in abusing other people by keeping them at an arm's length. No, that's not a growing, glowing Christian. That is sometimes what I would like to call a fake Christian. Have you ever met fake Christians? Don't answer that. Of course we have. Listen, I know one because it takes one to know one. I thought what I would do today is wear a mask to preach this sermon. And then I thought they would think I'm crazy, so I'm not going to do it. But my illustration is basically this. I have been fake in my Christianity. I say, "Boy, Pastor, why are you admitting that?" Because I figured if I can admit it, so can you. Because there are times when, if you be honest, you've been fake. But the facts are, God's calling us to reality. God's calling us to be genuine. God's calling us to be conformed to His image. This is an opportunity when this nation needs a people who will rise up in God's love and mercy and kindness and express this glowing, growing attitude to all the people that we come in contact with. Such a time as this. Man, I'm telling you, God has given us an opportunity to be the reconcilers. But here's the problem. What roadblocks us from being a person of thanksgiving, a person of gratitude, a person of generosity? What comes in between us? A couple things. Number one is pride. Everybody say pride. What is pride? It's an inordinate self-esteem, or it's an unreasonable conceit of our own excellence or our own importance. It's pride. It's like, we come first. It's all about me. It's all about what I think. It's all about what I have known. It's all about what I need. That's pride. And pride will be a roadblock to generosity and gratitude. And without generosity and gratitude in our lives, we're not going to be growing and glowing Christians. We're going to stay puny. We're going to stay fake. We're going to stay people that are non-effective. But look, if you're going to go to church, you might as well be effective. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you might as well be a game changer. How about this? A world changer. How many would like to be a world changer? Come on now, let me see your hand. I believe we ought to all be world changers. Now, with this attitude, we feel, a prideful attitude, we feel we have no one to thank but ourselves. It's sort of like that movie that I illustrated. That gentleman thought that because he was gaining strength and swimming back to the shoreline, that he didn't need God anymore because he didn't think he could do it, but he did it. But he didn't realize that what he did was because God gave him the strength to get that far. But when he got close enough to make it on his own, he tapped out and said, God, I don't need you anymore. Thanks a lot. Everything I said before, never mind. And that's a prideful person. It's a prideful person to think you can get up in the morning and do anything in your life apart from God's empowerment, God's presence, and God's grace in your life. But that God's grace was in our life, we wouldn't be able to take our next breath. And we ought to thank God, if nothing else, for the breath that we just took that gave us strength in our physical bodies. You see, we deem ourselves as the only one worthy when you're prideful. No one else is worthy. They're not worthy because they don't have the education I have, or they're not worthy because they're uneducated in so many ways socially, or they're not worthy because they don't come from my background or my ethnicity. They're not worthy because they look at life a little bit differently. Their culture's different. They're not worthy. My daughter, Pastor Mary, went to Nepal for about 3 or 4 weeks, and she came back. She said, Dad, I was supposed to teach in one of the schools on honor. After being there 3 or 4 days, I tore the page in half. And I said, I can't teach them honor. They know honor and live honor. And I was learning honor from them, who live in villages in mountains that don't even have running water, electricity, don't have backgrounds in education, don't have internet, don't have all the modern conveniences, but they have honor. It's an amazing truth that we don't have to have things to have what's really valuable. And this is what pride does. It cuts us off from what's valuable. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 reads this way. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? Well, I built this house. No, you did not. Every time I pull up on that driveway and come into this building, I think, God, you did this. You're an amazing God. Every time I wake up in the morning and I'm an early riser and I look over at Tina and she's as beautiful at night as she is in the morning, as she is throughout the day. Yes, you are. She's shaking her head. She goes, I'm so embarrassed when you say that. And I think, God, you must love me. Ooh, give me that kind of a woman. I'm married up. But you understand the goodness of God in our lives and the realizing that we didn't do anything on our own. Standing now, being invited to appear on the stage with Dr. Bernice King. I'm like, God, what would I, in my church, what am I going to offer? God says, you know what? I invited you. I said, God, but I know I'm not worthy. He goes, that's why I invited you. You should see all the people that are trying to get on the platform. They're making calls. Hey, we want to come. We're Bishop so-and-so. We're Reverend this and that. We're Mayor this. And we're the president of so-and-so. We'd like to meet there. And hey, sorry, I can't help you. God set this up. This isn't about celebrity night. This is about unity of the community. That's what it's all about here tonight. We're not trying to flaunt the celebrity list of all the VIPs. And then all of us as little people get to sit there and watch them. That's not what this is about. That's pride. God hates pride. Say that with me. God hates pride. Why does God hate pride? Nathan, if you could put that up there. Because it prevents people from seeking him. God hates pride because it prevents people from seeking him. They will not seek him when they're prideful, and neither will you, and neither will I. When you put yourself before God, when you put yourself before others, God is left out of the equation. You and I can't afford to live without God. Just because you're doing well today, you think, well, I really don't need God. I'll back up on prayer. It's amazing what struggle and trial does. We pray like we have no tomorrow when we're in trouble. But things ease out. We're like, nah, it's all right. Backing up a little bit. Things are fine. I think I'll miss church. I really don't need a prayer line. I don't need to come to Wednesday night intercession. But get that doctor's report of incurable cancer and you have 3 months to live. Tell me how you're going to feel now. You're looking for every Bible you can get. You're looking for every healing tape from every evangelist, right? You're looking for anything that you can possibly get to change your situation. We ought to live as though it is our last day on the earth every day, right? Every day. Because as someone said, it will be one day. It will be one day. Wow. Number two. Well, I wanted to, let me finish the scripture. I'm sorry. God hates pride because it prevents people from seeking him. Psalm 10:4. That's the scripture. It says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. But look at the last part of that verse. God is in none of his thoughts. Oh, my goodness. I could preach right there. I could preach just that for the next hour. And it's no pads on the pews, and an hour would be excruciating. Sorry about that. But look at it. God is in none of his thoughts. When a person operates in pride, God isn't in his thoughts. As a man thinks, he so is. So if God's not in your thoughts, you are becoming anything but the God image. If he's not in your thoughts, then your actions motivated by your thoughts are not spirit-led. You're now living a life that is not spirit-led, spirit-directed, because God is not in your thoughts. That is frightening. I do not want to operate in pride. I want to be humble. I want to walk in humility and utter dependency upon God. Can I get an amen in here? Number two. Oh, what a roadblock to gratitude. What are roadblocks to generosity? A critical spirit. You know, this attitude is the exact opposite of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. If you don't know that passage, you need to read it, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It talks about what love is. But let me say, a critical spirit will always arrogantly judge others. A critical spirit will be easily provoked. A critical spirit accounts for every wrong and never carries any hope for anything. That's what a critical spirit does. A critical spirit is infectious and defiling. A critical spirit brings division, pain, hurt, and suffering. A critical spirit takes the place of God in that situation, pushes God away, and puts the humanity of a person in its place. Look, I've learned a long time ago, some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Look, I love you, and I'm not going to do anything not to love you, but I have my love and trust in God. Because if no one here next week came back, I would still preach. I would still believe God loves me and he's for me. Why? Because I know God is good all the time. Folks, stop defining your success by how people measure it, by how people react to it, by how the world system defines it. We need to realize that when you have God in your life and you're a growing, glowing Christian, you're on your way to heaven and God is pleased. You know what I want to hear from the Lord at the end of my days? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on and enter into the joy of your master. That's what I want to hear. And let me tell you something. If you all are there when that happens, and maybe you're already there before I get there, and you see me coming at the gate, and I say, hey, Peter, is my name in the book? You know, that presentation we had. And he goes, yes. The lights come on, and the angels are shouting, and Jesus comes out to welcome me. You better give me some clearance, because I'm going to be jumping and twisting and shouting. I'm going to be leaping and looking, and I'm going to be like crazy. because I made it. I made it. This morning, the Lord showed us a beautiful vision. We were coming to the church this morning, and a bit of a drive, and there's a pond just on the entrance of 90, and we saw three deer walking over to the water, drinking. And the Holy Spirit said, "Ask the deer pants for my water, Brooke. Lou, pant after me. That's what matters. Pant after me. Take a drink, Lou. Take a drink." And T and I were just relishing in that. We said, "Boy, God, you just spoke to us. You just told us what's the important thing." My question is, have you taken a drink this morning? Or have you been critical? Are you drinking at the wrong fountain? Are you eating of the wrong fruit? Today, we've got to assess ourselves and say, look, I can't be critical. I have to be encouraging. Rather than operating in thanks or operating in giving, a critical person will always find something to complain about and judge wrongly. Something. It doesn't take much. Can I give you an illustration on my own person? I'll be vulnerable again. Yesterday, I was showing somebody the upper room. It's a beautiful space God gave us. And I'm walking up there, and I look, and guess what? The cover plate on that switch is still not on there. Now, I've asked a half a dozen people, would you please put a cover plate on that switch? That's not a big deal. I'm just telling you how easy it is to allow pride or a critical spirit to enter in, and you don't even know it. And I thought about it, and I said, turned to the person, I said, "Oh, I've asked so many people to put that on there," and the Holy Spirit said, "You're being critical." I'm like, "Come on, God. I've been good all day." Right? I mean, that's just a little thing. I said, "I've been good all day." I mean, no, this is like ridiculous now. You're being nitpicky. And then, no kidding, this morning when I woke up, the first thing that came into my mind was that cover plate. And the Holy Spirit said, "Put one on yourself. And quit expecting others to do what you can do." I said, "God, you know what? That's not fair either. Yesterday you were nitpicking, and now you're all over my case. I don't like that." Does God ever deal with you like that? You and I cannot afford to be critical in the little things or in the big things. It matters not. We have to always believe the best. We have to speak the best. How many know our words are powerful, and our prayers and declarations change the environment? And when we decree and declare over governments and situations and health and finances, how many know that we can change and alter the future and alter the conditions of people? So don't let grumbling and complaining come out of your mouth, but rather ruling and reigning. In the next couple of minutes, I got one left. What is it that is a roadblock to generosity and to a thankful heart? Carelessness. Carelessness will get us every time. What is a careless spirit? Carelessness is the prelude to disobedience. Now, let me say that one more time. Carelessness is a prelude or a setup to disobedience. You and I cannot afford to become careless in our walk with God. Carelessness will steal away a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude. And we will no longer be a growing and glowing Christian, but we'll be in stalemate. We'll become the problem, not the fix. We'll become the individual that's always pointing the finger and blaming. We cannot allow ourselves to become careless. Let me give you an illustration. Think with me, if the stars only came out once a year, every other night, 364 nights of the year, you look up at the sky and it's black. Nothing. Moon doesn't shine, no stars. And then 364 days later, the anticipation builds. The stars and the moon are going to shine tonight. How many people would be outside with their heads up looking at the wonder in the heavens? Everybody. Just like this new moon that's going to be shining here on the 14th of November, which is tomorrow. It's going to be the biggest moon of the year. People are already anticipating it. Why? Because it's not common. And you know what we have a tendency of doing in our walk with God? We take things for granted because they're common. But if the stars were to shine only once a year, you would be in awe. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder of the presence of God. There are three examples of carelessness in the Bible. Number one is Aaron's sons. Aaron was a high priest, and he was called to offer incense to the Lord. His two sons, however, decided to offer incense their way, carelessly offering it to God, doing the right thing the wrong way. It was a self-centered attitude. They were going through the God motions, but they were not doing it the way God asked them to do it. So they're offering strange incense. That's what the Bible says, strange fire. It was of their own doings. That carelessness caused disobedience to enter their heart and eventually judgment. Let me remind you another story, Eli's sons. Eli was the man. He was the priest of Israel. He was the voice of God. And his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, I think are their names, they, you know what they were doing? They were taking the offering. And then they would just go into the boils of the meat and pick out the best pieces for themselves and take advantage of all the pretty girls that came to church. In the name of God. Let me tell you something. That's careless. To touch a holy thing in an unholy way is careless. That's why I'm such an advocate of the tithe, because it's holy. And to treat it as unholy is careless. That's why I'm an advocate of it, because I know that carelessness leads to disobedience, and disobedience ultimately will bring judgment on yourself, not necessarily from God. You're almost judging yourself when you're disobedient. So we see two illustrations of carelessness, and we find that they ended up judged by themselves. And then last, David. You know, King David says, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. That God loved David and David loved God, but David got careless. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the right thing. But guess what he did? He put it on the cart, an ox cart, and drove it in to Jerusalem. He did the right thing the wrong way. And when the oxen stumbled and the cart shook, one of his buddies went to level it. I'm just going to touch you. He wanted to level it, to hold it up. And God struck him dead. And David goes, God, what are you doing to me? I'm bringing the presence of God back to Jerusalem. And God was silent. In other words, he said, check the book. Check out the book. It's not how we do it. You became careless. It was convenient. It was easy. Find some priests that are separated unto me. Find some priests who will hoist the presence on their shoulders and walk it in the way I've prescribed. Don't become careless. Folks, you and I cannot become careless in our prayer. If ever we needed to pray for our nation, it is now. Is it less important to pray for our nation today than it was last Sunday? Absolutely not. Don't you and I get careless in thinking we can just sit back and just relax and God has this thing because it's going the right direction. No, 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 no. But my people. It didn't say when my people pray before an election or when my people pray before a surgery or when my people pray before they have children, or when my people pray about this business deal, or when they're going to have some kind of a purchase, a house or a major purchase. He said, no. He said, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves. He said, when they pray, God will heal their land. It's a continual thing, church. We can't back off now. We've got to pray more now than we've ever prayed before. And we cannot become careless in our walk with God, our attendance in our church, our giving, our praying. We need to pray more. We need to give more. We need to be more. We need to be a glowing and growing Christian like never before. This is the moment. This is the time where we must move forward in the kingdom of God and make a statement. Carelessness will interrupt and sidetrack us from living the life of thanks and giving. Ephesians chapter 5 and 20, and I'm just about finished, says, giving thanks always for all things to God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when faced with the adversity in your life, troubles, trials, it's always best to rely upon thanks and giving. Engage in both. And I like to do that. If I'm in a struggle or we're going through something, we want to say, thank you, God, for where you brought us. And we like to give. We'll give love, we'll give generosity in money, we'll give whatever God tells us to give. We'll give forgiveness. Even when we don't feel like people deserve it, we'll give it because you know what, it's mine, I possess it, and I can give it because freely I've received, freely I can give. And I'm going to create an attitude of giving, and I'm going to create an attitude of thankfulness in my life because I know that's what causes the anointing to be initiated in my life. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says to enter his gates with thanks and with giving. Really, anytime we come from before the presence of the Lord, we ought to come with this attitude. We ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. We ought not to be grumbling and complaining. We ought to be a giving person. We ought to be releasing what others need. Look, if I have it, I'm going to give it. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you ask for your coat, give him your tunic too. Jesus was a giver. He gave his very life. We know that. But God's called us to be givers. Not to be hoarders, not to be takers. When you forgive other people and you serve in your church and you share salvation, the plan of God with other people, when you touch hurting humanity, when you have grace offered to other people, when you give your tithe, your talent, and your treasure to the furtherance of God's kingdom, you become a thanksgiving person. Here's an illustration. Some of us have been there, especially after Thanksgiving. Woman stood over her sink full of dirty dishes, pots and pans stacked near the ceiling, and thanked God for the plates, the cups, and the pans staring her in the face. You know why? Because they were a testament of God's abundance of supply of what they had just enjoyed. Now, you could complain about, nobody's in here helping me do the dishes. Why don't we just use paper plates? But she looked at it from a heart of gratitude. She realized that God had just blessed her. And as a result, these dirty dishes are a testament of the fact I had the money to buy it. I had the knowledge to bake it and cook it. And now I have the strength because I ate it. And now I can give God praising my Savior all the day long. It'll say praising my Savior after the dishes are done. Doesn't say that, right? It's all the day long. All the day long. When a person focuses on what they don't have, they will always fail to see what they do have. Focus on what you don't have, and you will never focus on what you do have. This morning, the question is, what are you focusing on? Have you become careless? Have you become critical? Have you become prideful in any way? Well, there's probably not a person in here that's not guilty of one of those, if not all of them, at some point in their life. Have we been fake? Probably all of us have. But here's the beauty of a relationship with a living Christ. Holy Spirit restores, renews, and redoes right now. You don't even have to wait. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. And God will do that for you if you call upon him. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, he will show you great and mighty things. God wants to redeem and restore and turn things around right now at this very moment. That's the beauty of this experience that we have with God. So Nathan, if you could, please put my little tune on. I want you to see and worship with me. It's going to be up on the screens and you can sing along and worship. But we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come right now and begin to bless because we're thankful people.
Grace that flows. Turn it up a little bit.
Think about that. God's washing us with his
fount of heaven, love of Christ, overflow in me. Thank you, Jesus.
Can anybody thank him for something today?
Set me free.
If he did that, you can thank him.
Christ, my Savior,
my Jesus,
you rescued me.
Hallelujah.
Take this love, deliver.
Just offer it in worship, would you? Set me free from my sin.
Christ, my Savior.
Oh, can you give him thanks? Come on.
You rescued me.
You rescued me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You set me free.
You set me free. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
You rescued me.
Oh, I want to praise your name. 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 I give you thanks, God. I want to be a thankful person. I want to be a generous person. I want to be a glowing Christian. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Turn it up just a little bit. Let's stand up and worship. Can you tell him that? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
You planted my heart. You set me apart. I love you, Lord.
Come on, lift a hand and tell him, I love you, Lord,
you have given me life, you have opened my eyes. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. You've entered my heart, you've set me apart. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. I give you honor, give you praise, give you glory. My God, you are good to me. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, right in this atmosphere, would you begin to restore and hear the cry of your church? Holy Spirit, would you come and minister right now healing and deliverance and love and mercy? Come on, lift your voice. I love you, Lord.
You've entered my heart. You've set me apart. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
favor? Would you cross this big old aisle right here and take somebody by the hand? And let's just join together in prayer.
You set me free.
Thank you, Father.
Christ my Savior.
I want you to begin praying for the person on your right and left.
Rescue me.
And that hand that you're holding is a real person that God loves so much, that has got a great plan for their life. So I want you to pray. Father, you know what they need. You know if they need healing right now this morning. I'm asking you that you would heal their physical bodies. Touch their mind. Touch their minds. Minister to their spirit. Give them great grace. Let the power of God come on their life and on their family, and let them not, God, be in this place without hope. Holy Spirit, I want you to come and just descend like a dove upon their life even now. Holy Spirit, come. Would you just pray that with me? Holy Spirit, come. And touch them to the right. Touch them to the left. Holy Spirit, minister your word, your love, your kindness, your restoration. Holy Spirit, come. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Father, we're asking for healing in the physical realm right now. And we're asking for deliverance, God. Deliverance from hate. Deliverance from critical spirits. Deliverance, oh God, from pride. Deliverance, oh God, from carelessness, God. We want to be glowing and growing Christians. We want to be glowing and growing believers, God, in you. We love you, Jesus. And we give you honor and praise and glory. And we want to just say thank you for what you've done, God. We give you praise now, Father. In Jesus' name. Now what I would like for us to do in the next couple of minutes, just break hands. I want you to worship the Lord with me. Turn that back up. Just a couple more minutes. If you'd like to come to the front, receive personal special prayer, I'll lay hands on you. Pastor Adam and Jenna are here. My wife is here. Pastor Lowell is here. Pastor Karen is here. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe God, because God has a plan for your life. And don't you walk out of here without knowing that God loves you and he's got a great plan. And you could be a thankful person regardless of your history. You could be a generous person regardless of your history. Pastor Mike and everyone's here. Let's just lift that up again. Come on, put it up a little more. And if you'll just join with me and let's sing this song from our hearts as a prayer. Let's bless the Lord. Let's worship in this room. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You need prayer, come. Come right now. We want to pray for you. We want to believe God for you, because he loves you and he's got a great plan. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just wave in the presence of our God this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can lift up our praise, that we can acknowledge you as our God. We can acknowledge you as our source, because there's nobody, Father, that can compare with you, Lord. We lift up your God. We thank you. Some of you are sensing the Holy Spirit. Come on, just let Him minister to you. It's the Holy Spirit that does the ministry.
Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior. You rescued me.
Rescued us, God. You've rescued us, Lord. We give you praise, God. Just put on another worship song, that'd be fine. But right now, Father, we just thank you that the prayers that are going up around this altar this morning are prayers, Father, that you, oh Father, are answering. And Lord, we are grateful. Father, right now we thank you for comfort. We thank you for the peace that's flooding our hearts in troubled moments. We thank you for hope restored. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for hope restored. Thank you, Father, for great grace that's being poured out in this room right now. God, we're so humbled by your presence. Father, we don't
There's
deserve it.
There's nothing worth more.
There, we don't deserve
that'll
it.
Ever come close.
But all
no
we can say is
can
thank
compare.
You.
You're our living hope.
It's His presence.
Your presence.
Just have to stay there for a minute.
I've tasted and seen.
God, you're good.
Of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone.
My shame is undone in your presence.
In your presence, Lord.
Now just welcome Him.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Can you just welcome
Come flood
him?
This place and fill the atmosphere.
Can you welcome
your
Him?
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Overcome us, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord. Take over us, God.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are our living hope.
Sing it in your presence.
Your presence.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Father. I've tasted.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. And my shame is undone.
In your presence, tell him.
In your presence, Lord.
Now just one last time, welcome the Holy Spirit with me. Come on, church.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Just put your hand on your heart.
Your presence, Lord.
Make it a prayer. Say, Father, fill me. Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your power. Fill me, oh God, with the person of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. And as we go, Father, from this place, our heart's desire, God, is that we would become aware of you in the parking lot, in the restaurant, in our homes and our places of work, in the midnight hour when we're all alone, when we're with people that are difficult to be with. We want to know, God, that you're with us and that your presence will never leave us. More aware of your goodness. More aware of your presence, God. That's what we need, Jesus. We love you, Father.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Just with me right now, let's just thank God for what he's doing in our midst. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus, and we give you all the praise because you're a good, good Father. Woo! Find at least three or four people and say, he's a good, good Father. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And then tell him he'll never let you down, right? He'll never let you go. Hey, live right, love everybody, pray hard. Great to be with you today. Don't forget prayer Wednesday night at 6. Don't forget Saturday, 1 o'clock, Thanksgiving feast, right down below. It's going to be a great time. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. We love you.